Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We're going to start in the very last verse of chapter 3. It's verse 24. And if you have your bulletins, you can look in your bulletin and see the verses that we're going to be going over. Miss Newman, despite her sickness, is still putting together our 1 John chapter 3, verse 24 says, "Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." According to verse 24, all who are trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. Notice what it says at the very end of verse 24. "By the Spirit whom he has given us," okay? So, and he abides in us, okay? This is what this verse tells us. So, his Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, indwells all those who are following Jesus Christ. Now, the Apostle John is confident of the fact that his audience has this wonderful blessing. He reminds these people of this blessing because they are in desperate need of the Holy Spirit's discernment in their lives. They are being inundated by false teachers and are in the midst of spiritual battle. You know, close to the battle lines during the Korean War, a sentry was walking his post one night. He heard a sound in the darkness, and he challenged, "Halt! Who goes there? Friend or foe?" A voice replied, "Friend." The sentry said, "Repeat the second verse of the Star-Spangled Banner." The voice responded, "I don't know the second verse." The sentry said, "Advance, friend." A lot of people don't know the second verse of the Star-Spangled Banner. A lot of Americans don't. So I guess he figured, hey, he was being honest about it. But anyways, we need to test. We need to test these spirits, these teachings, these teachers. We need to test and see if these folks are from God or from the devil. Now, I want you to understand the language here. It's really tying what we accept as truth with sin. What we accept as truth with sin or righteousness, okay? If you accept the real truth about Jesus Christ, then it will be counted as righteous. If you accept what the false teachers have to say about Jesus Christ, it will be counted as sin. And it makes it very clear. The language here shows us that this is not just a matter of preference in our lives. This is tied to wickedness. And so we've got to be able to discern. You know, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is given to guide us, right? And to guide us in righteousness, in sin, to help us know what's good, and to help us know what's bad. And so this is the same thing. It's knowing what's good in the teachings that we hear and what's not good, and rejecting those that aren't good. So what I would like us to see from this passage today is that the Holy Spirit will equip every follower of Jesus with the ability to recognize false teaching and stick to the truth. So let's take a look at this passage and see how the Holy Spirit will help us in our battle against false teachers. Look at verse 1 again. It says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. First of all, because we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, we can discern whether someone is a false teacher. Now, John has just got through talking about the need for us to love one another. Remember last week, we talked about the need for us to love one another. Now, understand something. However, love must never be used to overlook false doctrine. Love must never be used to overlook false doctrine. So many times we get over-focused on love that we're willing to overlook false teachings. That's never the case in the Bible. We should never be willing to overlook false teaching. Now, the Bible does say that love covers a multitude of sins, right? So if we know someone is a true follower of Christ and you know, they're our brother and sister in Christ, and they do something that's, offensive to us or something like that, we need to just let it go because we love them, okay? We do that all the time. But if your brother or sister in Christ is getting entangled in false doctrine, you don't cover that up. You don't let that go. You've got to help them understand that it's false so that they don't get entangled in it and get overcome by it. Okay? False doctrine is a serious thing. And we should not use love as an excuse to condone it. We must expose it and get rid of it in our lives. Okay? And this is what John is trying to do. Although he's going to preach more on our love for one another and loving others, he never uses love for an excuse to cover up false doctrine. Now notice we are commended not to believe every spirit. Just because somebody looks and sounds like a good teacher doesn't mean that they are. Understand that. This is the old bait and switch technique that these false teachers use. You ever hear about what a bait and switch method is? A retailer lures customers into his store by advertising a well-known product at a very low price. When the prospective buyer asks to purchase it, however, he is out of stock. The salesperson tries to sell him an inferior line of merchandise, hoping to pocket a bigger profit. The brand name was used just to get the potential customer to step inside. You see, the old bait and switch. Hey, false teachers use this all the time. They use the same phrases of genuine Christianity. They'll use the same phrases. They'll get you hooked by their advertisements about Jesus and things like that. But when you look a little closer, you realize what they're selling you is some kind of false generic product. It's not the real deal. It's not the real deal. And that's what we need to avoid. We need to see that there are many false prophets in the world. That's what the Bible says. So we can't just naively turn on the TV and because some guy says the name of God, some guy opens the Bible, some guy uses a few verses from the Scripture, and just openly think that, hey, yeah, that guy's a good preacher. He's a good guy. That goes against what we're learning here right now. Many false prophets there are out there. So we really got to be diligent in our discernment of those who are really genuinely preaching the gospel, genuinely using the Scriptures, okay? Because there are many false prophets, and that's why we're not to believe it. not to believe these guys. We're supposed to have this filter in our hearts and in our minds that protects us from these false prophets that are in the world. The test is focused on what a person teaches about the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice that it says those who claim that Jesus has come in the flesh are from God. Those who don't claim that Jesus has come from in the flesh are not from God. Now, this is talking about a specific false doctrine that the teachers of that day were proclaiming. They were saying that Jesus just came in spirit, that he really didn't come in flesh and blood, that he really didn't come bodily, and he wasn't fully human. Okay? That is a false teaching. Jesus really did come in the flesh. He was 100% human, as well as 100% God. And that attack on him was so that they could spread their lies and live their life the way they wanted. It always boils down to that. Understand something. There's always all these false teachers. It always boils down to a couple things. First, they want to attack something about Jesus, either in his person or in his work, so that they can distort the teaching of Christ to the point where they can live the way they want. Okay? And you'll see that over and over again in these false teachers. And I've studied many of them, some of the ones that are popular today. And I always look for, okay, what do they think about Jesus? Some of these popular people today, they think some weird things about Jesus, about what he did. One person, one false teacher, was saying that Jesus paid for our sins in hell. Jesus paid for our sins in hell. Now, that's not accurate, folks. The Bible says that Jesus paid for our sins when he shed his blood on the cross, right? Now, you think that's just kind of a one little quirky thing. But understand, it's those kind of things that lead to other things that these false teachers are saying that lead people away from the truth of the gospel. This same person says that if you have enough faith, God will give you all the money you want, all the things you want, and your happiness is God's main goal in your life. When you hear people say that, please understand that that's false, okay? That's just a lie, okay? But it all stems from their view about Jesus. From their view about Jesus. So Jesus should be the center of the testimony and teachings that we have. Now understand something. Jesus Christ is the center of all the teachings of the Bible. And they should be the center of all the teachings that we have in this church. Jesus, the whole account of Scripture, from the Passover lamb to the resurrection of the saints with Jesus, all of it is about Jesus, okay? All of it ties to Jesus in some way, okay? This book is a testimony to the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And so if someone can preach over and over and over and over and over and over and over again and never mention Jesus, there's a problem there. Jesus is what it's all about. He's what it's all about. I get concerned with people who, when you ask them about their relationship with the Lord, never mention Jesus. There's a problem there. Because he's the center of it all. You can't know God unless you know Jesus. So let's remember that. Let's keep this as a litmus test in our lives. If you can hear a preacher and he's preaching, you've heard him three or four times, and he hasn't mentioned Jesus yet and his work, the work that he did when he died on the cross for your sins, when he rose again from the dead, how he's coming back again. If those things aren't mentioned, you need to throw up a red flag and really wonder whether or not this guy is from God or from the devil. Because that's what the Bible says to do. So, some are more obvious than others. Some will come out and say it. But we need to remember this. Now, some are more subtle, simply not making much about Jesus, talking much about him at all, in order to avoid recognizing who he really is and how we should follow him. What I want you to know is that the Holy Spirit will help you recognize these false teachers. If you are trusting the Lord Jesus as your Savior, he will help you recognize them. Christy and I, a couple years ago, we were listening to this guy, and he sounded really good, you know. It sounded wonderful. He looked like a good guy. You know, he had all the right things going for him. Big church. And so Christy and I decided we'd listen to him a few times. And after about the fourth time we listened to him, she said, you know, it's not what he's saying that bothers me, but what he's not saying that bothers me. And sometimes that's the case. The devil is wily and he's tricky. Sometimes it's not what they say, but what they don't say that you need to watch out for, okay? So ask the Holy Spirit to help you recognize false teachers. Remember, many false prophets have gone out into the world, so we must rely on the Holy Spirit to help us recognize them. Now quickly, verse 4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, John gives three reasons why the indwelling Holy Spirit gives us victory over the wiles of the devil. And that's my second point. Because we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, we have overcome the wiles of the devil. First reason he gives is because the believer in Jesus is from God. We are his children. He will protect us by his Spirit. Secondly, we already have experienced victory because of our trust in him. We already know the victory that comes when we trust in Jesus as our Savior. And thirdly, and the one I'd like to emphasize right now, is the Holy Spirit indwelling you. You see, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit of God is greater than all the forces of the devil. Let me repeat that. The Holy Spirit of God is greater than all the forces of the devil. We can be confident of our victory over the devil and all his false teachers because of God's Spirit is within us. You know, a submarine, the walls of submarines that descend 2 miles into the Mariana Trench of the Pacific Ocean are constructed of thick steel plates to withstand the tremendous pressure placed upon them. But the pictures taken from such heavily protected submarines reveal fish swimming 2 miles below the surface of the water with scales no thicker than that of any other fish. How can this be? The answer is simple. The pressure inside those fish is equal to or greater than the pressure of the water around them. You see how they're all able to withstand the pressure of outside forces? Because of what is in them. We have Jesus Christ, his Spirit, in us. And it's greater than any exterior force in this world. Nothing that this world can throw at us can break us as long as we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Think about that for a minute. Think about that. We may not be able to control the forces of evil around us. And all you got to do is look at the paper or look at the news on the internet or on the TV and see that the forces of evil are great in our world. It can be depressing, but I want you to understand, even though we cannot control the forces of evil around us, we can be confident that they will never exceed the power within us. Understand that. We have great power within us as believers in Jesus Christ, and all the wiles of the devil will not be able to crush us as we follow the leading of his Spirit. And that's what I want us to remember. In Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39, it says, "Yet all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor the things present, nor the things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." If you are trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, none of the forces of this world and the evil forces of this world can conquer you. None of them. Because the Holy Spirit is indwelling you. So ask the Holy Spirit to help you overcome the wiles of the devil. Rely on this promise and this truth in the Word of God, and you will overcome. Finally, and very quickly, because we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, we are bound together in the truth. Now, if you notice in verses 5 and 6, it talks about discerning the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, because these false teachers are from the world, they are going to teach what the world wants to hear. Now, understand that. This is why you can't gauge a teacher by the size of their congregation. You know, some of these false teachers, they got huge congregations, 14, 15,000 people. That doesn't mean that they're doing right. It does not mean that they're preaching the truth. As a matter of fact, it may mean quite the opposite. Okay? Because people in the world don't want to hear the truth. Okay? So if someone can't embrace the truth of God's word, they are of this world. So if God's word is offending someone, they need to get right with God. They're not of God. Okay? Understand that. And sometimes the word of God and the truth of God is going to offend the world. Okay? We just need to understand that. If someone can't embrace the truth of God's word, they are of the world. If someone has the Holy Spirit indwelling them, they will accept God's word as truth. Understand that. This is a very important principle. Why is it I can say that? Why is it I can just say flat out, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to believe everything in this book is true? How in the world can I say that? How can I say that? Because Jesus said it. Because Jesus said it. Jesus said in John chapter 10, and I won't turn there because I'm out of time, but he said over and over again, "My sheep hear my voice, and they'll listen to me, and they'll understand and follow me." And he goes on to say, you know, because they hear my voice, they'll recognize my words. Okay? It's very clear in the scriptures as we go through 1 John and as you read the Gospel of John and other passages that anyone who has the Holy Spirit indwelling them, the Holy Spirit is going to convince them that everything in this book is true. That's the way it is. That's the truth. That's the teaching. If we can't accept that, then we're not of God. That's what the Bible says. I'm not making this up. That's just the way it is. So, when someone says something like this to me, I am not sure I believe everything in the Bible that I read is true. That throws up a red flag for me. That throws up a red flag. And I say to myself, this person may not know Jesus Christ. Understand that. If someone says to me, you know, I can't accept everything that I read in the Bible as true, it throws up a red flag for me that they may not know Jesus Christ and they may not have His Holy Spirit indwelling them. Why do I say that? Because of the principle that we just learned here in chapter 4 of 1 John. God is going to speak to people by His Holy Spirit and confirm that His word is true. And if He doesn't, then there's a problem. Now we've got 2,000 years of history here on our side as well. 2,000 years of Christians that have over and over again confirmed in their hearts that this book is completely true and accurate. And if you read many Bible-believing church documents, you'll see this is number one on the list. God's word is inerrant and accurate in all that it says and teaches. Right? We read that all the time in constitutions and bylaws. You'll read that for sure in ours. Okay? And why is that? Because true believers in Jesus accept the truth of God's word. There's no argument about it. That's how we can be bound together. That's my final point, that we're able to be bound together in the truth. Because we all universally, as followers in Jesus Christ, accept the truth of God's word. Now, those that haven't in recent days, these critical thinkers, these liberals, okay, they're not of God. Bottom line. And you're probably familiar with some of them, and I am too. But if they can pick apart God's word and say, okay, this part's true, but this part isn't true, and this part isn't true, but this part is true, guess what? They are not of God. Not of God. Okay? And I can say that because that's what God's word says. Okay? So, let's be bound together in the truth. Okay? Let's remember that as believers, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And because of the Holy Spirit indwelling us, we can discern whether someone is a false teacher. We can overcome the wiles of the devil. And we can be bound together in the truth.